Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sacred Divergence Radio, with your hostess Reverend Elizabeth on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Listen in every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern and join us in the chat room as we discuss music, magic, spirituality, and more.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is yet another Sunday night here on Sacred Divergence Radio, episode 71. It is Sunday, November 15th, 2015. And we have a lovely show for you tonight. First, I want to begin by expressing my anguish and my grief and my sorrow and my prayers for the people of Beirut who were attacked by ISIL, or the Islamic State, recently. And also for Paris and France, who were also attacked by the same terrorist organization. In Beirut, ISIS attacked a crowded marketplace in the Bourj al-Barajna neighborhood of Beirut, killing 44 and injuring more than 200 others in the worst terrorist attack the city has seen in years. And if you will beg pardon one moment, I will pull up the recent numbers for Paris. I know that the numbers are in the hundreds of killed. And this is coming from CNN. One moment, and I'm pulling up right now. So this was last updated at 8:37 p.m. Eastern Time today, Sunday, November 15th, 2015. And this is what we know so far. And, you know, I really don't like that they're using the term ISIS, because it is not the appropriate term that this Islamic extremist group should be labeled as. They are either they have declared themselves the Islamic State, IS. This attack on Paris was the deadliest terrorist attack in Europe since the Madrid train bombings of 2004, in which 191 people died. Three teams of terrorists staged coordinated attacks at 6 locations throughout Paris late Friday, including a concert hall, the Stade de France, and at least 2 restaurants, Paris prosecutor Francois Molins said that at least 129 people were killed and 352 people were wounded in the attacks. 99 of the wounded are also reported to be in various serious condition, he said. Molins said 7 terrorists were killed, 1 fewer than the number the Islamic State claimed were involved. A black Sikh car, or Seat, S-E-A-T, it's spelled like seat, believed to have been used by the gunmen in the restaurant attacks, have been found in the eastern Paris suburb of Montreuil, a spokeswoman for the Paris prosecutor's office said Sunday. CNN affiliate TFMTV reported the authorities found three Kalashnikov automatic rifles in the car. The discovery raised the possibility that at least one attacker drove the car to Montreuil and remains at large. Police say they are searching for any possible attackers or accomplices. The threat is still going on, the risk is still very high, and nothing says this terror sequence is over yet, Paris Deputy Mayor Paul Klugman said. Two of the dead attackers have been identified, and six people have been detained, and they are looking for another Belgian-born French national. In Belgium, police arrested a number of people in raids Saturday in a Brussels suburb. And so that's basically all we know right now. They were held in a variety of locations. Bataclan Concert Hall was the deadliest site, with at least 89 people killed. Three attackers with assault rifles arrived in a car, entered the concert venue, and opened fire. Police stormed the theater in a rescue operation. Two of them were suicide bombers. Had suicide belts on, and one was killed by police gunfire and his suicide belt. Eagles of Death Metal, a blues rock band from Palm Desert, California, had been performing, and a witness told Radio France that the attackers entered firing pump rifles and shouting Allahu Akbar. Four people were killed in Stade de France, outside the sports stadium in Saint-Denis, a suburb north of Paris. Three suicide bombers and a man who had been walking by. France was playing Germany in a soccer match at the time, and a witness said two explosions could be heard in the background during the game. Mullins, the prosecutor, I think that was Mullins, said three explosions occurred over 32 minutes outside the stadium, two immediately outside the stadium, and one 400 meters away. And President Hollande was at the stadium and among those who were evacuated following the attacks. 15 people were killed as attackers opened fire at the intersection of Rue Albert and Rue Bicat in the 10th district of Paris, near the Canal Saint-Martin. Many of the victims were gathered at Le Petit Cambodge, a restaurant, and Le Calillon, a bar, that are situated on either side of Rue Bicat. About 7 minutes later, five people were killed in another shooting outside Café Bonne Bière on the corner of Rue de la Fontaine-Arroy and Rue Faubourg du Temple in the 11th district of Paris. Around 4 minutes after that, attackers opened fire with assault weapons on the restaurant La Belle Equipe on Rue de Charonne and also in the 11th district. 19 people were killed in that shooting. After 4 minutes more, a suicide bomber blew himself up at the Café Comptoir Voltaire on Boulevard Voltaire. Other than the attacker, nobody else was killed, but one person was critically wounded. And the state of France, or the country of France, rather, is in a state of emergency right now. And the French government has also tightened border patrols to prevent potential attackers from entering and to capture anyone involved in the attacks. The parliamentary police are on heightened alert, and security forces have been increased across France. 1,500 military troops were ordered by President Hollande to join the security forces currently deployed. Many shops, public buildings, and tourist attractions, including the Eiffel Tower, were closed in Paris on Saturday. So we have a lot of people who have died in these recent events, and I am so disheartened by all of this, especially in the wake of our peace wave explosion. We had the peace wave explosion on Friday the 13th, and then we have these attacks. But I still say that we need to keep praying for peace now more than ever, because our peace does make a difference. Our prayers do count. They do matter. And I would like to take a moment of silence, about a minute, to honor those whose lives were lost in Beirut, which has largely been forgotten in the midst of Paris's tragedy. Everywhere seems to be talking about Paris, 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 and there has so little been mentioned of Beirut, in the Western world at least. I'm not sure what the Guardian UK has said about Beirut or what they are reporting, but in the U.S. and on social media, Beirut is largely not mentioned, and I find this very sad. I think Facebook would go a long way if they were to put the Lebanese flag. Beirut is a city in Lebanon. I think they would go a long way toward reconciling the fact that Beirut has not really been mentioned if they were to put the Lebanese flag as an option for people to put on their profile pictures, like they did for France. Right, let me have a moment of silence here, and I will mind the time. During this time, I pray for peace, I pray for love, I pray for stability, I pray for the nation where we live, I pray for Beirut, I pray for Paris and France, I pray for the Lebanese people, I pray for the Parisian people, I pray for the Francois, near and abroad, and let our moment of silence begin, so mote it be. And thank you all for joining me in that minute of silence for Paris and for Beirut, two cities that were tragically attacked this past weekend. So now I would like to move on to a happier topic, and I would like to invoke two goddesses. one who is very close to Apu Admanagama, who has so kindly joined me in the chat room. I know it's very early there in Saudi Arabia, but welcome, my dear student, Apu Admanagama. So these two goddesses are Sekhmet, who is currently working with Apu, and Isis, who I have worked with since I was 16 years old, going on 11 years now. Is it 10 or 11 years? 11. Yeah, because I was born in 88. I had to calculate there for a minute. Dua Netjeret a Sekhmet. Dua Netjeret a Isis. In Egyptian mythology, Sekhmet, also spelled S-A-K-H-M-E-T, S-E-K-H-E-T, or S-A-K-H-E-T, among other spellings, was originally the warrior goddess as well as the goddess of healing for Upper Egypt when the kingdom of Egypt was divided. She is depicted as a lioness, the fiercest hunter known to the Egyptians. It was said that her breath formed the desert. She was seen as the protector of the pharaohs. Amenemhat I moved the capital of Egypt to Itjawi, the center. Sorry about that, everybody. My Skype died for a minute there, so let me continue. She bears the solar disk and the uraeus, which associates her with Wajet and royalty. With these associations, she can be construed as being a divine arbiter of the goddess Ma'at, justice or order, in the judgment hall of Osiris, associating her with the Wajet, later the Eye of Ra, and connecting her with Tefnut as well. Sekhmet's name comes from the ancient Egyptian word Sekhem, which means power or might. Sekhmet's name suits her function and means the one who is powerful. She was also given titles such as the one before whom evil trembles, mistress of dread, lady of slaughter, and she who mauls. In order to placate Sekhmet's wrath, her priestesses performed a ritual before a different statue of the goddess on each day of the year. This practice resulted in many images of the goddess being preserved. Most of her statuettes were rigidly crafted and do not exhibit any expressions of movement or dynamism. This design was made to make them last a long time rather than to express any form of functions or actions she is associated with. It is estimated that more than 700 statues of Sekhmet once stood in one funerary temple alone, that of Amenhotep III, on the west bank of the Nile. She was envisioned as a fierce lioness, and an art which was depicted as such, or as a woman with the head of a lioness, who was dressed in red, the color of blood. Sometimes the dress she wears exhibits a rosetta pattern over each breast, an ancient leonine motif, which can be traced to the observation of the shoulder knot hairs on lions. Occasionally, Sekhmet was also portrayed in her statuettes and engraving with minimal clothing or naked. Tame lions were kept in temples dedicated to Sekhmet at Leontopolis. To pacify Sekhmet, festivals were celebrated at the end of battle so that the destruction would come to an end. During an annual festival held at the beginning of the year, a festival of intoxication, the Egyptians danced and played music to soothe the wildness of the goddess and drank great quantities of wine, ritually, to imitate the extreme drunkenness that stopped the wrath of the goddess when she almost destroyed humanity. This may relate to averting excessive flooding during the inundation at the beginning of each year as well, when the Nile ran blood red with the silt from upstream, and Sekhmet had to swallow the overflow to save humankind. In 2006, Betsy Bryan, an archaeologist with Johns Hopkins University excavating at the Temple of Mut, presented her findings about the festival that included illustrations of the priestesses being served to excess and its adverse effects being ministered to by temple attendants. Participation in the festival was great, including the priestesses and the population. Historical records of tens of thousands attending the festival exist. These findings were made in the Temple of Mut because when Thebes rose to greater prominence, Mut absorbed some characteristics of Sekhmet. These temple excavations at Luxor discovered a porch of drunkenness built onto the temple by the pharaoh Hatshepsut during the height of her 20-year reign. In a myth about the end of Ra's rule over the earth, Ra sends Hathor or Sekhmet to destroy mortals who conspired against him. In the myth, Sekhmet's bloodlust was quelled by the end of the battle and led her to destroying almost all of humanity. So Ra poured out beer dyed with that it resembled blood. Mistaking the beer for blood, she became so drunk that she gave up the slaughter and returned peacefully. Sekhmet later was considered to be the mother of Mahen period. He was seen as the lion prince, the son of the goddess. The late origin of Mahes in the Egyptian pantheon may be the incorporation of a Nubian deity of ancient origin in that culture, arriving during trade and warfare or even during a period of domination by Nubia. During the Greek dominance in Egypt, note was made of a temple for Mahes that was an auxiliary facility to the large temple of Sekhmet at Teremu in the Delta region, likely a temple for Bast originally, a city which the Greeks called Leontopolis, where by that time an enclosure was provided to house lions. So there's a little bit about Sekhmet for you. And Dua Najirat A Sekhmet. And now I would like to welcome my goddess, Isis. Dua Najirat A Isis. Isis was one of the oldest gods or goddesses of ancient Egypt, but her origins are unclear. She is sometimes thought to have originated in the Sinai, but it is also likely that she was first worshipped as a fetish in the delta area of Lower Egypt around Busiris, the location of the oldest known cult center to Osiris. However, her cult was not limited to one area, but worshipped in every temple in the land. In fact, the first shrine dedicated specifically to her was built by Nectanebo II in the 30th dynasty. The cult of Isis, the Egyptian goddess, was very popular throughout Egypt and beyond, and she became a goddess of almost limitless attributes. Isis was her Greek name, but she was known to the ancient Egyptians as Aset or Ast, Iset or Uset, which is usually translated as female of the throne or queen of the throne. Her original headdress was an empty throne, and as the personification of the throne, she was an important source of the pharaoh's power, as descent was to some degree matrilineal. However, the exact meaning of her name is still disputed. Plutarch suggested that her name meant knowledge, but another possible translation is female of flesh, for example, mortal, suggesting that also, though she was queen of the gods, she had once been a mortal woman. This certainly fits with the mythology surrounding the Ennead, which state that Isis and her husband Osiris had actually ruled Egypt before the time of the pharaohs. However, the Book of the Dead describes her as, quote, she who gives birth to heaven and earth, the poor, for the weak, end quote, suggesting that she was considered to be more than simply a mere mortal. Isis was known as Hent, or queen, in every nome. She was also known by a bewildering number of names and titles throughout ancient Egypt, and took on the aspects of many other goddesses. This resulted in a fairly complex relationship with the other gods and goddesses. And a nome is the Greek term for from nomos, which means law, for the 42 provinces of ancient Egypt. The ancient Egyptian term was sepat. Egypt had been divided into provinces since the pre-dynastic period, but it is thought that there were originally fewer nomes. Some scholars have suggested that a set of seven periods were constructed during the reign of Huni in the 3rd dynasty, which represented the main cities of seven nomes: Hebenu, which became the 16th nome, Abydos, Naqada, El Kula, near Hierakonopolis, Edfu, Scylla, the Fayum Oasis, and the island of Elephantine, or Aswan. The boundaries of the gnomes changed over time, and the location of some still remain uncertain. Some gnomes appear fairly late on in the early Egyptian history, such as the gnome Bubastis, which is not mentioned until the New Kingdom. So that's a little bit about gnomes. The sister and wife of Osiris, and the sister of Set, Nephthys, and some. However, because of her association with the throne, Isis was sometimes considered to be the wife of Horus the Elder, the patron of the living pharaoh. Ra and Horus were closely associated during early Egyptian history, while Isis was closely associated with Hathor, who was described as the mother or the wife of Horus or Ra, and so Isis could also be considered to be the wife of Ra or Horus. However, when Ra and Atum, the Ennead of Heliopolis, merged, Isis became daughter of Atum-Ra and the wife of Atum-Ra. This situation was clarified regarding by crediting Isis as the granddaughter of Ra-Atum, the mother of Horus the Child, and the wife of Osiris. The adoption of the mythology of Heliopolis as the national religion promoted Osiris to the position of king of the netherworld. However, this position was already held by Anubis. As a result, a myth developed that Nephthys became pregnant by Osiris and gave birth to Anubis. There are various versions of the tale. In some cases, Osiris genuinely mistakes Nephthys for his wife Isis. The two were depicted as being very similar in appearance. In other cases, Nephthys intentionally tricks Osiris. Either way, Isis adopted her husband's illegitimate child to protect her sister and the child from the rage of her brother Set, and apparently was happy to forgive the adultery. The Egyptians highly valued family life, and Isis was the paragon of motherly virtues. From the New Kingdom, Isis was considered to be the archetypical mother and was a patron goddess of childbirth and motherhood. As Horus was the patron of the living pharaoh, Isis could be described as the mother of the pharaoh. The image of Isis and the infant Horus was extremely popular in Egyptian art and is generally accepted that they had a huge influence on the iconography of Mary and the infant Jesus Christ in the early Christian church. However, while Mary is perhaps described as a passive vessel who is not considered to have any power independent of her child, Isis was not only a mother, but a confident and skilled queen and a very powerful sorceress. Isis knew the secret name of Ra, which gave her an incredible amount of power. The pyramid texts imply that Isis prophesied the murder of Osiris, although she was unable to prevent it, and her power even extended beyond the grave. At her insistence, Anubis and Thoth devised the first ritual of mummification to give Osiris life after death, and she herself managed to magically conceive her son Horus by hovering over the body of her dead husband. She was one of the four protector goddesses, along with Bast, Nephthys, and Hathor, or Nephthys, Nephthys, Selket, and Neith, who protected the sarcophagus and the canopic jars, which contained the internal organs. It was thought that she helped the deceased on their difficult journey into the afterlife, and she was sometimes named as one of the judges of the dead. Her priestesses were skilled healers and midwives, and were rumored to have magical powers. Like the priestesses of Hathor, they could interpret dreams, but they were also thought to be able to control the weather by braiding or combing their hair, a superstition which was common in many later seafaring cultures. During the Ptolemaic period, she was linked with Astarte as the patron goddess of sailors, and it was hoped that she would provide a favorable wind. Her loyalty to her murdered husband and infant child, her courage in defying Set, and her warmth and compassion towards all people, even Set, made Isis one of the most beloved goddesses in Egypt, and indeed the ancient world. Isis was often represented as a goddess wearing a headdress representing a throne, which was one of the original hieroglyphs in her name. She was also frequently depicted as a human queen wearing the vulture headdress with a royal serpent on the brow. In these two forms, she occasionally carried a lotus bud or the glyph of the sycamore tree. She was also commonly depicted as a queen or goddess wearing the double crown of Upper and Lower Egypt, along with the feather of Maat. There are also numerous representations of Isis with her son Horus, which bear a marked similarity to her later images of the Virgin Mary with baby Jesus. Isis was also depicted as a winged goddess or a kite, one of her sacred animals. In this form, her wings spread a heavenly scent across the land and brought fresh air into the underworld. From the New Kingdom, she also adopted the vulture headdress with cow's horns on either side of a sun disk between them. Occasionally, she was depicted as a cow or a woman with a cow's head. In her form of the snake goddess, Thermopsis, she was depicted as a cobra crowned with a throne headdress. The Tjet amulet was also known as the knot of Isis, buckle of Isis, or the blood of Isis. Although the meaning of the Tjet is fairly obscure, it is thought that it may have represented a woman's sanitary cloth, hence the connection with blood, or may relate to the magical power in a knot, again linking it with Isis, the great magician. The Tjet was used in the funerary rites, and seems to have been linked with the ideas of resurrection and rebirth. She was sometimes associated with Num in representing Upper Egypt, just as Ptah Tanen was associated with Nephthys in representing Lower Egypt. So there is a little bit about Isis. And let's see what's going on in the chat room. Not much. Okie dokie. So let me read off, let me try to find some prayers to Sekhmet and Isis. Here is an invocation to Isis, or to Sekhmet, rather. As it was at Memphis, so be it now. Hear me, I beseech thee, O powerful one, Lady of Reket, Lady of Peket, Lady of Set, Lady of Rehesawi, Lady of Sikar and of Sehert, Mother in the horizon of heaven, in the boat of millions of years, thou art the great defender, thou art overthrower of Ketu. Preserve us from the evil chamber of the souls of Heshra. Deliver us from the abode of fiends. O thou who art Sekhmet, life-giver to the gods, Sekhmet, lady of flame, Sekhmet, great one of magic, Sekhmet, eternal is thy name. O hear me now, Sekhmet, lioness head, Sekhmet, whose color is red, daughter of Ra, Sekhmet, consort of Ptah, Sekhmet, money is thy name. Hear me now, Sekhmet, Sekhmet is thy name, O come to me. Sekhmet, destroyer of rebellions, Sekhmet, scorching eye of Ra, Sekhmet, protector, ruler, Sekhmet, holy is thy name, O reveal thyself to me. Sekhmet, mother of the gods, Sekhmet, mistress of the crowns, Sekhmet, thou art called only one, Sekhmet, beloved is thy name, possess me now, O great one. Sekhmet, greater than Isis. Sekhmet, greater than Hor. Sekhmet, greater than Bast. Sekhmet, greater than Maat. Sekhmet, mistress of thy name. I am lost in mystery. Sekhmet, preeminent one. Sekhmet, light beyond darkness. Sekhmet, sovereign of her father. Sekhmet, hidden is thy name. Rapturous my dying. Lady of Amt, lady of Manu, lady of Sa, lady of Tepneph, lady of heaven. Thou art Ami Seshet, destroyer, upholder. Thou art the terror before which fiends tremble. Thou art lust, thou art life, ever-burning one. Teka Haresa Pusarim Ka Karamet Sefi Perhem Hesra Hapu Tkef. Mistress of enchantments, the source and words of power, forbidden is thy name. I am the sealed one. Do not consume us with thy fire, give us light. O Lady, mightier than the gods, adoration rises unto thee. All beings hail thee. O Lady, mightier than the gods, preserved beyond death that secret name, O being called Sekhmet. At the throne of silence even, shall no more be spoken than encircling one. I lose myself in thee. So... And, Yes, I was reading the prayer, Apu, in the document that you sent me, and it's very awesome. She is a very powerful goddess. I myself am not a devotee of Sekhmet, but I could definitely see where she could come in handy, overcoming obstacles and the like. There are a few litanies to her. I will not go into them because they are very long. There are 38 of them in this document alone. There are 100 names for Sekhmet listed here as well. I believe, yes, here they are. So what else shall we talk about tonight? I think that I would now like to talk about, well, let's take a musical break first, because it is the bottom of the hour, past the bottom of the hour. You all are listening to Sacred Divergence Radio right here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And I thank you all for taking the time out of your days and your weeks and your lives for joining us. Let me see if I can find anything ISIS related in our playlist here. I typed in ISIS and it's being a little bit slow. Please forgive me. ISIS Unveiled by Darb the Bard. Here we go. And it will give me a little bit of time to research our next topic. Thank you for listening. Here is Darb the Bard.
To the wind, to all parts of the land, scattered widely. bonfires from Clay Lock Department tonight. I'll come along.
Alexandrian with Circles. We are talking tonight about Sekhmet, about ISIS, and now we are going to talk about a highly controversial topic, but it need not be controversial, really. We're going to be talking about sacred harlots. Ishtar was the famous goddess, first of the earliest known civilization, Sumer, then of Babylonia, was a prostitute. Her many other names over the centuries included the Great Whore of Babylon, Heavenly Prostitute, and Mother of Harlots, as well as Har and Hora, from which the words harlot and whore derive. She was said to call herself a compassionate prostitute. Babylonian scriptures honoring Ishtar depict her as a sacred prostitute in a window, awaiting customers. For thousands of years, high priestesses dutifully performed ritual sexual couplings with Sumerian kings to grant them Ishtar's power. Over 4,300 years ago, one of these prostitute priestesses, Enheduanna, wrote the oldest words by an author whose name is known today. Archaeologists have unearthed many clay tablets of her cuneiform poetry. The Babylonians emulated the Sumerian custom on a larger scale. Prostitutes called Ishtaritu inhabited the temples of Ishtar, offering themselves to any male worshipper who paid the required contribution. In fact, every Babylonian woman was expected to go to a temple and perform the rite with a stranger at least once in her life. There was no shame in such temple prostitution. On the contrary, it was a sacred means of attaining divine union between man and goddess. Indeed, in the Epic of Gilgamesh, written around 2000 BC, a Babylonian temple prostitute civilizes a wild man of the forest by sleeping with him. Aphrodite was not only the Greek goddess of love, but also the patron goddess of prostitutes. Dozens of temples were raised in various cities to Aphrodite the courtesan, Aphrodite of brothels, Aphrodite of streetwalkers, etc., and the prostitute priestesses within conducted worship in much the same way as the Ishtaritu of Babylon. In fact, Aphrodite was based on Astarte, who was the Phoenician counterpart of the Babylonian goddess Ishtar. Even the Hetaerae, the famed high-class courtesans of ancient Greece, assisted in public ceremonies devoted to the gods. At the conclusion of the Eleusinian Mysteries, Phryne would appear at the gateway of the temple and perform a slow striptease. She was also the piece de resistance at the festival of Poseidon and Aphrodite. According to historian William Sanger, Phryne slowly disrobed herself in the presence of the crowd. She next advanced to the waterside, plunged into the waves, and offered sacrifice to Poseidon. Returning like a sea nymph, drying her hair from which the water dripped all over her exquisite limbs, she paused for a moment before the crowd, which shouted in a frenzy of enthusiasm as the fair priestess vanished into a cell in the temple. Unquote. This performance, representing the myth of Aphrodite's birth from the sea, inspired a series of depictions by painters, beginning with Phryne's own lover, Apelles, and culminating with Botticelli, 2 millennia later. And in the chat room, we have an interesting conversation going on between myself and Apu. And he said in a PDF that he downloaded titled Goddess Sekhmet and the Way of the Five Bodies, the author described her as a divine harlot, since one of her names was Thou Art Lust. And she is also a fertility goddess who is invoked to have pregnancy. So Sekhmet may indeed be one of the forms of the divine harlot. And her tame part, Apu says, is the goddess Hathor, which is the divine midwife and goddess of pregnancy, which later on is carried by the goddess Isis. So it's all very interesting, and I think it's very good that we have goddesses dedicated to the oldest profession in the world. I think we need more of them. I think we need more worship of them, because sex is great. It's amazing. It's wonderful, And it's something that everyone should be open to, I think. They shouldn't be ashamed to talk about it. I certainly am not. I could talk about sex for hours at many different levels, from the technical to the not so technical. And I know in our culture these days, you know, it's all about sex and it's all about exploitation of the body, of the feminine body especially, but also the masculine body. There are many commercials out there that sexualize the masculine body. And I don't think that exploitation is right. I think that we need to come to the realization that each of us is divine, and that therefore sex with each of us also must be divine. And so that's a little bit about that. Afterphobe has finally joined us, and he said he's dangerous. He's about romance and love, and I totally agree. Romance and love can be completely dangerous things, especially if you fall hard for people and then potentially get your heart broken. But it should be noted that temple prostitutes were not there to fall in love with their customers or for their customers to fall in love with them. They were there to perform a service, and that service was to unite man with goddess, as I mentioned earlier. So it was a very professional relationship, and this was understood by all the parties before anything happened. I'm sure that some relationships may have bloomed out of such couplings, but it probably wasn't too often. You know, all things are possible. So, you know, and, Apu also says that Hathor and Sekhmet are two of the older gods, while Isis, Nephthys, Osiris, and Set are among the newer gods, which is also true. And Afterphobe says there have been epic wars over love, which is true. And Apu says that Afterphobe may be an expert on the topic of love, I'm assuming. or maybe heartbreak, since he's been through a number of breakups over the years that I've known him. And so have I, actually. Quite a number of boyfriends and girlfriends, for that matter. So anyway, it is getting near to the top of the hour, so I wanted to say thank you all for listening. And we're going to close out with a song tonight. I haven't decided what that song is yet, but I will hear in a minute. we will be back next week with, hopefully, the Reverend Lori Barbario Kagans, who is the head of the Karelian Press Office. And she currently runs the Karelian Press Office with great ease, it seems. And so be sure to tune in at 10 p.m. Eastern for that. And I think since we are talking about the goddess, we are going to close out with another Darb the Bard song, Lady of the Silver Wheel. I love you all very much, and I appreciate your listenership. May you all very blessed be, and blessed be peace. I pray for peace. I pray for love. I pray for stability. I pray for my country. And I pray for the world. Blessed be peace. Pagasatin.
wheel turns in the night, slender hands guide a thread, keeping it true, keeping it tight as it spins, fated begins to open its eyes, lady. Spiral castle, I hear you sing, lady of the silver wheel, lady of the silver wheel, Ariane, what lady of changes you spin, the web of life, the web of together, join them as one, the spindle begins to turn, a soul's new journey has begun on the earth with every birth, so the web that joins together all life is as one, daughter and son, animal, human, old and young, lady of the silver wheel, lady of the silver wheel, Ariane, lady of changes, you spin the web of life, lady of the silver wheel.
Sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Have a topic for us to discuss on air? Connect with Reverend Elizabeth at sacreddivergenceradio@gmail.com and on Twitter at sdivergence with hashtag topic hat. See you next week at 10 p.m. Eastern here on Sacred Divergence Radio and the Spiritual Unity Radio Network.